The Lord Jesus reveals to us three truths in the gospel today, but for the sake of time, we will focus on one of them. But let me mention briefly about the first two truths. The first truth that was revealed to us is about the evil in the world. The Lord Jesus made it clear that God did not cause evil. God is incapable of evil. The evil that we see around us and in the world is caused by the evil one who sowed the seed of evil. Isn't it interesting, though, that in our lives, when things go wrong, we don't ever look down and say, "The devil, you." We look up and we shake our fist at God and we say, "God, why did you do this to me?" Is that interesting? The Lord Jesus made it clear, God does not cause evil. It's the devil. The second truth that the Lord Jesus reveals to us today, having to do with hell. Every single Jewish person standing in that crowd, when the Lord Jesus talked about when it's harvest time, they will gather the weeds into bundles and burn them. And then the wheat will be gathered into barns. Every single person in that audience understood what the Lord Jesus was talking about. It was so clear that he's talking about evil men who do evil things and do not repent. They will be burned in hell. It is the good men that repent from their wrongdoings that are gathered into heaven. There's just no other interpretation that one can have. And it was very clear. But isn't it interesting that today in our time, there are Christians who are walking around thinking, there is no hell? If there is no hell, my brothers and sisters, then there's no need for Jesus, because the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, coming down from heaven to suffer and die on the cross and rise from the dead in order to be our Savior, saving us from what? We need God to come down from heaven to save us, because there is no others in this whole earth that can save us from what? Only God with his power is capable of saving us from the fires of hell. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of all of us from hell. If there's no hell, then Jesus is irrelevant. If there's no hell, then Jesus is unnecessary. The third truth that I want for us to focus on this Sunday is that when the weeds grew together with the wheat, the servant said, "You want us to go out and pull out the weeds?" And the master said, "No, we'll wait until the harvest time." And of course we know it is God. And the question that is posed is, why is it that God not punishing the evildoers now? Why does he allow the evil men to do their evil things and cause everybody to suffer? Why does he take care of them now? Well, the reason, my brothers and sisters, is God wants to wait. He waits because he holds out hope that evildoers will turn to good things. God holds out hope that good men will turn to holy things. God waits. God waits and hope that evil men will turn good. God waits and hope that good men will turn holy. I want to tell you the story about Alessandro. Alessandro was an Italian living in the late 19th century. He was 20 years old. And he had his eyes on a 12-year-old girl next door. One afternoon, when everybody was out in the fields, he came over to her house and tried to attack her. The 12-year-old rejected him, and in an outrage, he went to get a file and stabbed her 14 times. While he was trying to attack her, she kept screaming out at him, "God doesn't want this. God doesn't want this." After he stabbed her 14 times, the neighbors took her to the hospital on a horse carriage. You can imagine the excruciating pain that she had, but all the while, all the way with all the, you know, the horse carriage, you know, on the road, shaking her with the 14 open stab wounds, she cried out, "I don't want Alessandro to go to hell. I don't want Alessandro to go to hell." And she died. Of course, I'm telling you part of the story of Saint Maria Goretti, right? One of the youngest saints in the history of the Catholic Church. But I want to tell you about Alessandro. Alessandro was convicted of his crime. He was put in jail, and he was in jail for 27 years. While in prison, he had a vision of Maria Goretti appearing to him with 14 roses handing to him. And she said to him, "One rose for each stab." He became converted. He wept. After 27 years in prison, he was released. He went in search for the mother of Maria, begged for forgiveness. And of course, she was an elderly lady by then, and became her caretaker. He took care of Maria's mother until she died, and he gave himself to clean the church and spend all of his time praying and weeping for his sin. Alessandro became an old man at the age of 85 when the Pope canonized Saint Maria Goretti in Rome. And he was one of the key witnesses, and he was kneeling in front of her image, weeping at the canonization of Maria Goretti. That's why God waits, so that evil men can turn from evil doing. One of the greatest gifts that God gives to us, my brothers and sisters, is this gift of time. Because it is time that affords us this kind of thing. That today we may say to ourselves or say to everybody, "I don't believe in God. I don't want to pray. I don't want to go to church." And then tomorrow morning, after a time, we wake up and we say, "Well, what a stupid thing I did yesterday. That is so dumb of me. Of course there is a God. Of course I believe in God. God, I am sorry. That wasn't me. That was the stupid me. This morning I wake up, I believe in you, God." That's why God waits. And that's the gift of time, you see. And by the way, the angels were created outside of time. Angels have no time. And that's why when some young people, out of a sense of compassion, have asked me before, said, "Father, can I pray for the devil to convert?" And the answer is no. There is no hope for the devil to convert, because the devil has no time. When God created the angels, He created them outside of time, so that instantaneously each angel responds to God. Yes or no? Yes, you serve God forever. No, you become devil and demons. There's no time, and there's no time to change. But for us, my brothers and sisters, God created us in time. What an awesome gift that is. So that it is time that gives the possibility of conversion, of transformation, of changes for God. And when we think of this awesome gift of time, then we may consider to give back to God time, some of the time that God gives to us. And when we consider that, then we will figure this. You know how people tell me, "Father, I pray all day long. I pray while I'm driving. I pray while I'm doing the laundry. I pray while I'm vacuuming. I pray while I'm cooking. I pray while I'm doing, you know, all sorts of things in life." And I say, good for you. Keep doing it. But the things that are most pleasing to God is you take time to give to God and God alone. Because while you are vacuuming, you are giving time to a chore, to vacuum the house, which is something you must do. So you are taking the time to vacuum, and then you tag along God. You say, "Oh, you know what, God, why don't you come along here? I'm busy, but you come along. You know, I'm busy cooking, but you come along. I'm busy driving, but you come along." God is fine with that. God is good with that. But how about taking time and say, "God, this time is for you and you alone. I do nothing, because I slice out this time that you give me to give back to you." How about that? That's pleasing to God. Right now, Sunday afternoon at 4, you come to Mass. You're stuck with me here. This time, you give it to God. I mean, you could have taken this time to take a long nap, go for a walk at the park, go shopping, go visit friends, go to the restaurants. I mean, watch a game on TV, go to the movies. There are many things you could do during this time. But here you are, slicing away this time to be here, and you've given it to God. And my brothers and sisters, when we are giving that time to God, let's give it to Him. And don't cheat Him out of it, out of any of it. You see what I'm saying? So why, if you already said, "I'm going to Mass at 4, why come by 4:10? Why? Why come by 4:05? Why come by 4:02? Why not come at 4? Because that's the time you have promised to give to God. You're already spending time for God. Give it to Him. Don't cheat Him out of a minute or two. Take the time to pray the rosary. Take the time to come to the church, to sit and be with God. Take the time to come to Wednesday night, Friday night, that we have adoration all day, all night long. Come and say to God, "God, I'm doing nothing else. This time I give to you, the time that you yourself give me, that the angels don't have. The angels cannot offer you this. I can, and I'm giving it to you." And let's take a look at how much time do we spend for God, everybody. How much time do we spend for God every day? What is it? 1% of each day, by the way, 1% of each day is 14 minutes, I believe. I think somebody can do the math for me. How much time is 1% of 24 hours? You know what I mean? I mean, how much time do you spend for God every day? Well, don't worry about the percent. Let's think of it this way. How much time do we spend on TV? How much time do we spend on media, social media? How much time do we spend on socializing? How much time do we spend on eating? How much time do we spend on anything else but God? And God is okay with that. God loves us. God is okay. But the point is, when do we say, I'm going to give God some of my time? Some of my time. Wouldn't it be a good thing for Christians to say to themselves, you know what? Every day, I'm going to give God some of my time. If until today, I have spent 1% of the day for God, I'm going to start spending 2% of my day for God. How about that? 2% of the day. If I have been praying, if I've been spending 2% for God, then let's start spending 3% for God. So let's just everybody on your own, because everybody's different, think about your relationship with God and how much time you spend for God every day, whatever the percentage that is, and up it 1%. How about that? Remember, it's a gift that even the angels do not have to give to God. Okay? And then when you begin to spend the time, the little percent of time for God, then you start thinking. You go, oh God, you know what? I think, and today is we're praying for the grandparents. You know what? I think my grandson don't pray. He's young, you know, he's just too busy. He forgets, whatever. You know what, God? I'm going to spend 1% of my time added to the time that I give to you. I'm going to spend 1% more on behalf of my grandson. How about that? I'm going to up my time with you 1% more each day, and then another percent each day for my granddaughter. That's how it goes, my brothers and sisters. So today, as we come to this Holy Eucharist and learn of this incredible gift that God gives to us in time, let us think about it for a moment and begin today to increase the tiny slice of time that we each give to God every day. Why, my brothers and sisters? Because first God gives us the time and we give Him back just a little bit, and He will give back to us again eternity.